1 Samuel chapter 30. And I was thinking about how that many of us maybe don't feel physically 100% this morning. I doubt Jesus felt too swift carrying that cross, having been beaten with the cat of nine tails. Amen. He ignored his own feelings, disregarded his own feelings, so that he could do what we need. And we ought to many times disregard our feelings, you know, and do for him. Amen. He's worthy, isn't it? Isn't that right? We shout about him giving his life for us. What about us giving our life for him? Amen. What about that? Amen. What about that? 1 Samuel chapter number 30. This passage has been on my heart real strong, especially throughout the night. It's been on my mind for a week or so, but it's really got strong in my heart throughout the night. Just woke up several times with it on my mind and heart. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and our main thought will be found in verse number 6. And it came to pass that when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you get somewhat the feeling that David and these men might have had? How they felt and when they came home and found that the enemy, the Amalekites, had invaded their city, burned it, and had taken their sons, daughters, and wives captive. And they were broken. They were burdened to the point they wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Now that's a very important statement right there. David did not turn on them when they turned on him, because he knew that their actions was coming out of their hurt. You will act in a way that is not really you when you are hurt. And we, as God's people, need to be sensitive to the point that we can recognize that though they said this, or though they did that, or whatever, it's coming out of their hurt. It's their hurt talking. It's their valley talking. It's their burden crying out. And David, though it hurt him, it grieved him, yet he did not retaliate, because he knew it was coming from their hurt. That's why it says there, they spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What a statement. Salvaged, no doubt, salvaged this entire situation. Had not David been spiritual enough to encourage himself in the Lord his God, then he would have probably fought fire with fire. He would have probably been a man of revenge and retaliation. And David, being the king, probably had authority to have given the command that some of those people that said they were going to stone him, whoever those leaders were, he could have had them killed. But David knew that was not the answer. David knew the answer was to be encouraged in the Lord. Boy, I see it, isn't it? I've never seen such a plague of discouragement in my life. I mean, the pressure is enormous. Distress and disheartenment is at an all-time high. Discouragement, you would think, would be normal among sinners, because they really don't have anything to be encouraged about. They can't be encouraged about salvation. They don't have it. They can't be encouraged about forgiveness. They don't have it. They cannot be encouraged about eternity, because they're headed to hell if they don't get saved. But God's people, sad to say, are just about as sad as the unbelievers are. And there is an attachment and a connection between sadness and sinfulness. There is attachment there between discouragement and disobedience. We're discouraged not because of God. We're not discouraged because of Him or His Word. We're discouraged because of our reaction or our response to a circumstance, a trial, or a battle, or a situation. But the Lord impressed me to preach this morning about what David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And boy, it'd do us all well to meditate on that statement. To know that if David can do it, we can do it. Because David's God is my God and your God. David didn't have a God that's not ours, and ours is different from his. It's the same God. And David didn't have an extra connection that you and I don't have. In fact, the New Testament Christian probably has got a greater connection than those of the Old Testament. But David, the Bible said, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And there's a lot that we could say about this, and we're just going to try to let God lead us of what to say and what to deal with concerning this subject at hand about David encouraging himself in the Lord. I believe it's implied that if he encouraged himself, then evidently he was discouraged. I believe that's very understood. It's implied there that David, no doubt, was feeling some discouragement. And I believe those feelings are going to come at best. But how you react to them and how you respond to them is going to be crucial and very vital. And I have responded right before, and I have responded wrong before. When I talk about responding right, I'm talking about I responded with a spiritual response, as did David here. And then there's times I responded wrong, which means I responded in the flesh. And the flesh will never be the right route to take. The flesh is still the flesh. It has not changed. It profiteth nothing. And when we yield to the flesh and turn to the flesh, my friend, for our dealing with discouragement, then we're just asking for yet greater trouble, because the flesh profiteth nothing. Paul said that is within the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's nothing said throughout the pages of the Holy Bible. There's not one good thing said about the flesh. Not one good thing. You'd think out of 66 books, you'd think, my friend, if there was any good flesh on any person at any time, it would be in the Bible. But it's not. The flesh is your number one enemy. And to listen to it, and to be led by it, and to lean on it, my friend, in times of discouragement and distress, is asking for a downfall. Amen. And you can look at David in this passage, and you could find that David had all kinds of reasons to be discouraged. You could find that David, I believe David could have been discouraged, one, because of busyness. David was just busy. He was wide open. Him and he was leading men. He was fighting devils and enemies, and he was conquering, and he was busy. Well, if you're not careful, right in the middle of busyness, you'll get backslid. If you're not careful in busyness, you'll let your spirituality drift a little. You'll let some slackness come in to your life spiritually when you're busy. And then I thought about battling. David was involved in battling. Conflicts. Confrontation. Well, I don't like that, do you? I don't like confrontation. I don't like conflict. I hate it. I'll avoid it if at all possible without having to compromise. Amen. But David was involved in battling. And here's the thing that the Lord spoke to my heart about this battling that David and his men was doing. It was a battle that somebody else should have took care of. In verse 1, we know who the enemy was that came in and invaded Ziklag and burned it with fire and took the women and sons and daughters. They were the Amalekites. You can turn back in your own study into 1 Samuel chapter 15 and you can find where God sent a word to Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. He got that specific, clear, definite word. Destroy, utterly destroy the Amalekites. Well, that was the word from God. That was leadership. Well, he goes down there, takes matters into his own hands, and the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15 that he spared the king. King Agag of the Amalekites, he spared him. And then not only did he spare King Agag, but he also spared some of the sheep and oxen that he was supposed to destroy. And he told Samuel, when Samuel went down there to confront him, that he had obeyed God. And about that time, God made one of the oxen and one of the sheep began to make a noise. And he said, well, in essence, paraphrase, if you minded God and you did what God told you to do, then what is the ox? Why am I hearing some oxen? And where did these sheep come from? And he said, well, we kind of thought, you know, that these would be good for sacrifice. We just thought, you know, there's no need killing all these. We could just take them and incorporate them into the sacrifice and worship. And that's when that verse came from God through Samuel. To obey is better than sacrifice. But had Saul obeyed God and destroyed the Amalekites, guess what? There wouldn't have been any Amalekites to have invaded this city and do the harm that they did. Are you listening? I believe, my friend, that what you and I tolerate will be a terrorist to the next generation. What you and I allow, my friend, and condone and give privilege in our life. I'm talking about things that God says, deal with it, get rid of it, don't allow it. And we, for whatever reason, we reason it out and allow it. Guess what? It'll be a battle for the next generation. Amen? What you allow to escape will come against the future generation in a battle. And so David's fighting a battle that really somebody else should have taken care of. Well, if you're not careful, you'll fight other people's battles. Battles you didn't ask for. Battles you didn't invite. Battles you don't want. But it comes in your life because of the slackness of other people. And then I thought about not only busyness and battling, but I thought about brokenness and burdens. David needed to be encouraged because the Bible said there in verse 4 that they wept. Those people that were with David and David, they wept until they had no more power to weep. Well, a lot of people today are discouraged because of burdens. A lot of people are discouraged today because of brokenness. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if you're not careful, what comes with burdens, listen, we'll come backsliding. When you're under a burden, my friend, is a golden opportunity for the devil to work distance in your life. When you're discouraged, it's easy for the devil to work disobedience into your life and work decline into your life. When discouragement comes into your life and you're dealing with it, you better make sure you make some spiritual choices, because your life can be in a mess in a very short period of time. David was broken and burdened. And burdens are a part of our life. They're going to be there. They're going to come. But as I was sharing with someone last night, burdens can be a blessing if we allow those burdens to drive us to God. As did David. David was perplexed. David, the Bible said, was greatly distressed. And yet, he didn't allow his problems and his burdens to drive him away from his spirituality, but rather caused him to drive David to it. The burdens didn't make David spiritual. The burdens only surfaced his spirituality. Amen. The Bible said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Storms don't make you, they reveal you. Amen. Pressure don't break you, they make you. Pressure makes you. Everybody that's ever been anybody for God has been somebody that's went through some difficulties, some hardships, some trials, my friend, and they responded to that in a spiritual way. The hymn book, you've heard me make this reference before, that we sing a lot of our church hymns out of. Many of those hymns that bless us came out of some brokenness in somebody's life. That they responded in a spiritual way. Instead of complaining, they got with God and God gave them a song in the night. No doubt about it, when pressures come and hardships come, God's got a big picture in mind. God's got something in mind. But don't let burdens and brokenness drive you away from God and get you discouraged. And then, could I mention something else? David probably was discouraged because of the brethren. If it's not battles, and if it's not burdens and brokenness, just count on it. The brethren will do it. Remember the other Sunday morning I preached about, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. You know, and they talked about that passage there. David said if it had been a stranger or an enemy, I could have handled it. But he said it was somebody I went to church with. He said it was one of my own equal that I went to the house of God with. Oh, the brethren will discourage you. We have all kinds of examples of that. What about when the children of Israel was there and they were contemplating the idea of going in to Canaan? And they chose 12 men, one out of each tribe, and sent them over to spy out the land. And they went over as a group of 12. They came back divided. I mean, there's some people can't even stay unified in Canaan. I mean, the milk and honey flowing everywhere. Amen. Amen. Grapes so big you have to take 2 men to carry one cluster. And they still some going to be disgruntled. And they came back and 10 of those 12 said, we can't do it. We cannot do it. And the Bible said that they discouraged the heart of their brothers. They discouraged the heart of the people. Whoa, mercy. There are always going to be them 10. And it's always going to be that they're always going to have a negative report. We're not going to make it. We can't do it. You know, the giants are bigger than we are. And, you know, and be willing to stay in a wilderness to avoid a giant. And, but if we're not careful, even in David's case in 1 Samuel 30, the men that he fought with, Brother Mark, that he stood arm to arm with, now was speaking of stoning him. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, that hurts. When people you invest in start speaking negatively to you or about you, and a lot of that I want to keep in mind if I can. I want Lord to help me with that. Is maybe they're speaking out of their hurt. Maybe they are going through something and maybe they're not responding to it spiritually. And if there's going to be anybody spiritual in it, I want to be it. Amen. If they are responding out of affliction and distress and hurt and all of that, and they're just wanting to get at somebody, I want to be one that remains spiritual and try to respond spiritually. And that's what David did. I want you to write this down. And we're just giving you just different things the Lord give me. I noticed with David encouraging himself in the Lord, that I noticed this encouragement was not carnal. This, now I know that's so simple, if we're not careful, we'll sleep through it. If we're not careful, we will not even live, we won't even really raise up our attention to get it. But David's encouragement was not carnal. David's encouragement did not come through carnal means. The Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Wasn't carnal. Well, listen, if you can get a hold of that, if we can get a hold of that right there, it'll help us when we are facing discouragement and needing encouragement, that we will know that our encouragement cannot come and will not come through carnal means. And the word carnal just means fleshly. Right. Amen. Amen. Now I hope you get that. That's so simple that it's amazing how simple that is. But yet, I've seen people, my friend, get in the ditch because of a failure to note that. I've seen people get out of church because of a failure to note that. That your encouragement, when you get down, nothing in this world can pick you up. Everything about this world's down anyhow. Hey, man. People having to take pills to get up, pills to stay up. Hey, man. That's right. Why? Because everything in this world is a down. It's a downward pull. And it's a downward direction. And for God's people, or an individual Christian, when you get discouraged, friend, your encouragement cannot be found in this world. But rather, when you pursue, listen, when you or I pursue the carnal route, As an antidote for my discouragement, I always find this out, that I get in a greater mess. Amen. The flesh don't fix it. Amen. The flesh can't fix it. Right. Right. Amen. Brother Jeff mentioned Friday, I believe it was Friday night, and I've used it as well, about the just a little statement, a little story about how the devil was having a yard sale and auction with all of his tools. And he had one behind the counter that had not for sale on it. He said, I'll sell any of my tools that I've used since down through the years, but this one I'll not ever sell or get rid of. And they said, well, why will you not sell that one? He said, I've used that to break up many homes. I've used that to destroy and break up many churches. I've used that to cause a lot of young people to explore a life of sin. And that tool is called discouragement. He said, because if I can get someone discouraged, then I can pretty well, the door is open for me to step in and work my will out in their life. The devil will never tell you when you get discouraged, go pray. Listen, amen. The devil will never tell you in the flesh, the carnal nature will never tell you, stay in church. Amen. Come on now. The flesh, the carnal nature will never tell you, keep giving to missions, keep giving to God. Keep working, keep doing, be involved, be active in the things of God. No, the flesh will say, boy, that bed feels good Sunday morning. You don't need to go. Amen. I've been preaching 29 years. And you can go back, if you could find all the tapes, recorded messages that I've preached over 29 years, you will find that I've preached against unfaithfulness to the house of God ever since I've been a preacher and will continue to do so. Amen. Church slackness, my friend, is spiritual slackness. That's right. Amen. That's right. I tell you, it's like this, Brother Craddock. If you're sick, the last place you want to avoid is the hospital. Why in the world, if you're sick, would you want to avoid the very place that you're most likely to get some help? So it is with the house of God. Amen. I'm throwing that out in general. I'm not throwing that at any individual, but I'm throwing it out in general because we've got some in our church that's showing a lot of signs of slackness concerning your church attendance. You say, preacher, I had this excuse and that reason and this excuse. Well, if we was going to give you $100,000 if you come to church, would you have come? Yeah. That went home. You say, preacher, this was going on in my life. Yeah, but if we was going to give you a good, crisp Ben Franklin $100 bill for showing up at church, I promise you, you wouldn't have been near as sick. Now, I know there's times, don't get me wrong, I know there's times that there's ailments and so forth and it requires it. I understand that. But I don't believe it's going to be all the time. But anyway, better get off that. Some of you will finish turning me off. Amen. But it's right whether you turn it off or not. Amen. That's right. It's right. Hebrews 10:25 is still in the book. But listen, let me give it to you quickly. And this is not really the main part of the message, but the Lord's using it. His encouragement was not carnal. Young people, please get a hold of that. Nothing in this world can ever content you and satisfy you in times of discouragement. Why do we think that when we're discouraged that my answer can be found in some fleshly experience? Why do we think that? Why do we even feel that way? That my help can be found in some fleshly experience, some fleshly pleasure, or some fleshly pursuit. When the Bible never gives us that hope. The Bible never gives us that insight. Our encouragement, as was David's, is going to be found in the Lord. So let me move on. Not only is his encouragement not circumstantial, but his encouragement, secondly, was not influential. That is, it didn't come from another person. Everybody around David had a stone in their hand. Don't depend on others to pick you up. That'd be nice, and it's wonderful when there is someone that comes along that will be a Barnabas and be a son of consolation and will console you and comfort you and encourage you and edify you and exhort you. But you better not count on it. Hope hope it happens, but you better not depend on it, because there may be some times where your circumstance might be that everybody around you, including your family, might have a stone in their hand. It was not carnal. It was not influential. It didn't come from an influence of another person. And I have been encouraged by other people. Many times. A phone call, a kind word, a word fitly spoken. It's worth apples of gold, pitchers of silver. You know, I mean, I've been encouraged. I believe I could say this morning, I would not be here 29 years after being saved, my friend, still preaching the Word of God, if it hadn't been for some people along the way that sensed my discouragement and encouraged me. But I hope you get this. David's encouragement was not carnal. David's encouragement, my friend, was not influential. And let me ask you this. How can you possibly expect to be encouraged in your faith running and hanging around people that cares nothing about the spiritual?
Right.
Are you listening? I mean, we know that encouragement can come through people. We can establish that from the Bible. It's happened many times. Paul, when he would come to the close of a book, many times he would give a whole list of names of people that helped him and aided him and encouraged him. Talked about Onesiphorus, talking about how he oft refreshed me. But if you're not hanging around people of that caliber, how are they going to encourage you? If you, my friend, get discouraged and you start, my friend, buddying around people that don't even go to church, you think they're going to encourage you? Well, let me just add to that to make it more accurate. They will encourage you, but not spiritually. They will encourage you to get out of church. They will encourage you, my friend, to sin. They will encourage you to be involved in what they're involved in. I got to hurry. Not only is it not carnal, his encouragement was not carnal. His encouragement was not influential. And then I want to say his encouragement was not circumstantial. Well, Lord, if you'll straighten this out, I'll sure be encouraged. No, he got encouraged before he ever went after those that had been taken. The circumstance couldn't get any worse. The women, the children, the sons and daughters, always had been gone. His city is burnt. And guess what? Those 600 that was with him was speaking of stoning him. It couldn't get any worse at that point. But that's when the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Well, if it'd just get better, preacher, and if everything just get better, I'd be more faithful to church. I don't believe a word of that. Now, I'm not being mean this morning. I'm not being unsympathetic toward any problems you have. And I'm just simply saying that circumstances will never be an excuse for our discouragement. Amen. They weren't discouraged because of the circumstance. They were discouraged because they responded wrong. They thought, get a stone, let's kill David. That'll be the answer. Had they killed David, Brother Craddock, their wives, their sons and daughters would have still been gone. Ziglag would have still been burnt. Boy, if I just... Don't die. Come on, man. You get discouraged, don't tell me that they don't, if you're not careful, there'll be an attitude in there, I won't get somebody.
That's right.
Come on now. Let me give a scenario, see if it fits anybody. Boy, if they say one cross word to me, buddy, I'm gonna let them have it.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Huh? Come on now. I've done it. I've done it. You go in already cocked. You already got the powder in the barrel. Amen. Done ready to fire it off. And you walk in thinking, now they look at me just one cross-eyed to me. I'm going to bust them one. I did that one time, and thank God that nobody said nothing. Amen. I went to get Blake one time. He ain't here, I can tell it. Son, you talking about in the flesh. I was in it. Well, I don't know if I was in the flesh or if I just had some good righteous indignation. Flesh or spirit or in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. This has been a long time ago, but I found out where he was at. And I went to get him when I pulled up in the yard. It was Katie Bar the door, son. But see, I done went in there cocked. I was done ready. Preacher or no preacher, pastor of Rogersville Baptist Temple. It didn't make no difference to me. Nobody better not say a word to me or I'm going to plow him. Amen. I done festered on that for about 3 hours. Found where he was at. Went up, beat on the door. At very late hour in the morning, beat on the door, and they come to the door. I didn't ask. I entered myself in. And Blake looked like he'd seen a ghost. Are you listening? See, I wouldn't do that. Well, you may not, but I did. But just thank the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord watched after my testimony, because if one of them boys would have said something to me, I don't know what I'd have done. Because I went already primed. Come on now. Our encouragement is not circumstantial. You better watch how you respond to things. Be honest with you, if all of us be honest, if God hadn't watched over us and watched after us, we'd all, my friend, blowed our testimony through responding wrong. Amen? Hey, man. Well, if it'd just get better, preacher, well, economically, I wouldn't have a whole lot of expectation for that. You know, it just, I mean, a lot of ways, it just ain't looking good. But our encouragement, I want to say it again, thank God our encouragement is not circumstantial. Hey, David encouraged himself when it couldn't get no worse. All right, y'all listening? I thought that's pretty good. It was not carnal. It's not circumstantial. It's not influential. Amen. Listen to this. His encouragement was personal. Oh, don't let that little simple thing get over you, fly over your head. Amen. Pay attention. God's sending a word. Listen, his encouragement was personal. He didn't wait on a group. He didn't wait on a committee. He didn't wait on a phone call. He didn't wait on a card in the mail. My friend, the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It was personal. His encouragement was personal. I know y'all have not heard this, but your spirituality is your responsibility. David acted in responsibility when he got discouraged, when he was needing encouragement, and it wasn't carnal, it wasn't influential, it wasn't circumstantial, but it was personal. David said, I'm taking charge of my life spiritually. I am not responding carnally. Your encouragement, my friend, is personal. I believe the indication is if you want it, you can have it. Well, amen. His encouragement also, if you want to write another one down, his encouragement was practical. David needed some right now, inside me, encouragement. David needed to feel it. David needed encouragement in his thoughts. David needed encouragement in his hope. Amen. I mean, listen, it was a practical encouragement. But more than any of them, I want to give this to you. David's encouragement was spiritual. David's encouragement was spiritual. Look at it. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What about that? Spiritual. Spiritual. Amen. Spiritual. That's where your encouragement's going to come from. I don't have to ask, does anybody in here need encouragement? I promise you. I promise you there's a majority of people sitting right here in this building tonight needs encouragement. Discouragement, brother, will show up all over you. You can't hide it. Discouragement will show up in your life, in choices you make. Discouragement will show up in your life, in the countenance on your face. You know, listen, discouragement is not good for you. Amen. And if you're not careful, I just felt impressed to say this, don't even have it wrote down, but if you're not careful, you'll try to use your discouragement to draw sympathy. You'll try to look just as pitiful as you can look, sound just as sad as you can sound, hoping that somebody, my friend, will notice you. Have we not done that before? Well, we had two or three amens right there. Amen. That's not the answer, getting somebody to notice you. I mean, you can listen to the average. We don't have that problem as much here because I've preached on it so much over the years. But most places you go and you hear testimonies, it's not a testimony. It's a test of baloney. Amen. It don't have a thing to do with praising God, salvation. Nothing. It's all a complaint. Little complaint, mini sermon. Little mini sermon. A doctor's report. Isn't that right? And I'm not going to go to the place where I'm judging their motive as to why they're saying that, but I couldn't help but believe that some of them, I'll at least say some of them surely was going to that extent to get some attention. Feel sorry for me. Poor old me. I'm going through this. Huh? Some of them was legit. Some of them probably sincere. Amen. Who knows? But I'm not going to get to the point where that I judge that motive, but I do know from my own life that we can get there. Come on now. Watch this little, look, watch this right here. How many likes that? Let me ask you, how many don't like that? Not a person in here will raise your hand. We like it. And here's the thing, sometimes we need it. Sometimes it's really helpful somebody to pat you on the back and say, good job, or praise God, I'm praying for you, or something. Amen. Someone said, if you preach to hurting people, you'll never lack a congregation. Because every time you stand and preach to an assembly, there's going to be folks sitting there that is discouraged. Amen. Brother Jeff was talking about that preached our revival. He said, preacher, well, you got a lot more young people than the last time I was here. And I said, preacher, God's been good to us. And buddy, I want to preach to them. I want them to know, buddy, that there are going to be times that you're going to be discouraged. There's going to be times you're going to be discouraged with yourself. You're going to be discouraged with your friends. You're going to be discouraged sometimes, maybe even with folk at church. You'll be discouraged at school even. You're going to be discouraged with a number of other things. Dealing with failure and rejection and a host of other things we could add to that list. But I want these young people to know that the world does not hold the answer. The flesh does not hold the answer. I want them to know, my friend, as well as us adults, that my friend, encouragement comes in a spiritual package. Amen. I'm in my mind right now, kind of weighing this thing out, should I just unhook here and hook back up tonight? Because I've been trying to mind the Lord and preaching this morning. And what I'm dealing with now was really what I was supposed to deal with last. But God evidently wanted it first. That's all right. I think what I preached so far, though it's not deep, Brother Carroll, it wouldn't hurt to be preached again. Amen. You'd be shocked how many people in this congregation right here this morning didn't get it. Still hadn't got it. Amen. Lord help, if somebody's preaching on encouragement, I'm going to write it down, praise God. I'm going to note everything because I know I'm going to need it. I know there's going to be times that I'm going to need to be encouraged. Well, I'm not going to go back and start where I really intended to start, but I was going to start with encouragement defined. I just want to just get in there and let you know what the word encouragement means. Man, I'm telling you, it's rich. Rich. But the devil wants to reverse it by putting a D-I-S in front of it. He wants to put that prefix on the front of it and reverse it. Well, I'm not going to deal with that. I believe I've said enough. Ms. Paulson, I want you to come. Encouragement is spiritual. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and here's the big part, his God. That is the big thing. And we'll deal with that tonight, Lord willing. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. The Lord may have dealt with somebody's heart about just the need of getting in the altar and getting you some help. Heavenly Father, I've tried my best to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I've tried my best to, Lord, preach what you told me to. And Lord, I've had a good measure of liberty to preach this morning. And dear Lord, I know, I don't have to ask, I know that there are folk in this church service this morning, members as well as visitors that are probably battling some discouragement. And they're using their discouragement as an excuse for some of them for spiritual slackness and spiritual decline. But there will never be any justifiable reason or excuse for spiritual decline. Lord, I pray this morning that you will help us to know that in a discouraged state, we cannot reach sinners. Sinners will not be impressed and they will not be influenced. They'll not be drawn to Christ through our discouragement. But when they see and note that we go through battles and brokenness and burdens, and yet we encourage ourselves in the Lord and stay true to God, Lord, that in itself will send the message that we've got the goods. Father, I pray this morning. Lord, I've seen it over the years, discouragement take one out and this one out and a family out of our church. And some of those people are not even in church today. Go through a battle of time of distress and respond in the flesh and respond carnally. And they're out of the house of God bringing a reproach to the holy name of Jesus. Lord, I've seen it. Discouragement has got a very successful track record. It's been successful for years of destroying spirituality, but only as we allow it to. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to hearts here today. I know in my heart you sent a message, you sent and are sending a message, dear God, that I believe you intend to turn people to yourself. Lord, I pray that they'll get in this old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for using my circumstance as an excuse for discouragement and decline. Lord, there's folk in this building today, the truth be known, very slack in their Bible reading, and the base cause of that is discouragement. Father, I pray you'd work in their heart to know that if any help's going to come, it'll come through the Bible and the things of God. Father, I thank you for being my source and my sufficiency and my satisfaction. Lord, I pray you'll take the message thus far and use it for your glory. Lord, I can't open people's hearts and put it in. I can't apply it to their life. I cannot cause them in their will to make a choice to reject the flesh and the carnal and to receive the spiritual. I can't do that, but I can preach it to them and I can pray for them. I'm just the messenger. Lord, you sent the message. And as best I knew how this morning, under your leadership, tried to deliver what you wanted me to deliver. And I want to thank you, God, that you desire to encourage us. I thank you for that today. You, Lord, don't look upon us with pleasure when we're defeated and discouraged. Help us, Jesus. Your will, God, to be done. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.